My name's Tom Spinelli, said the man at the microphone. Good morning, Mr. O'Neill, members of the board, executive committee, and fellow shareholders. I would like to apologize in advance if my voice appears to be too loud. The reason is because I have subjective tinnitus. It's a hearing disorder. Spinelli was in the auditorium of Merrill Lynch's sprawling corporate center outside Princeton, New Jersey, on the occasion of the company's annual meeting on April 27, 2007. Merrill Lynch's chief executive, Stan O'Neill, had just reviewed the 93-year-old firm's record-breaking results in 2006 for his audience. The company he had led since 2002 posted $7.3 billion in profits for the previous year, dwarfing the 2005 earnings of $5 billion, which were also a record. O'Neill could now bask in the glow of his success and soak up the praise bestowed by Spinelli and other investors. I would like to emphasize that I've been an employee, client, and shareholder for over 35 years, Spinelli continued. I do know that during your tenure here at Merrill Lynch, I have discovered a wealth of new products and services, unlike anything I've ever seen in the past. As a client, it has enabled me to take full advantage of so many excellent investment opportunities in the marketplace. I am now in a position to provide a much more secure financial future for members of my family and myself. This is a comment and a personal observation. I neither have the inclination or frame of mind to put you in an awkward position. However, it should be stated that thanks to your knowledge, skills, superb leadership, and the expertise of designated members of the executive committee, Merrill is now back and in excellent competitive form. Annual shareholder meetings, supposedly the great democratizing force of corporate America, are curious affairs, with CEOs re-elected almost by acclamation by the votes of institutional investors representing huge blocks of votes. The few individual shareholders who do attend often fall into one of two categories: activists agitating for change, and well-meaning individuals entranced by the prospect of getting themselves in front of a microphone before a captive audience. As you know, the 2008 presidential election is starting to heat up again, Spinelli went on. I'm convinced that the Democrats will win back the White House in the aforementioned election. Under our new presidential administration, I am confident that you will be called upon by our president-elect to serve as an elite member of his or her new cabinet. It would be similar to what late President Ronald Reagan did for former chairman and CEO of Merrill Lynch, Don Regan, in 1980, who quietly slipped away in 2003. If you accept to do for your country what you have done for Merrill Lynch, I would no longer just be a content American. I would be a proud American. Thank you, and have a nice day. O'Neill smiled at this bouquet of gushing praise. Just the opposite of being too loud, the CEO said facetiously, pretending not to hear. If you would say that again, I'm not sure I caught all of it. The audience broke up in laughter. Thank you very much for your comments, O'Neill continued. And I have no intention of going anywhere, I'm afraid, because this is where I want to be. Thank you. The annual meeting ended, and O'Neill exulted in his achievements. He had single-handedly, it seemed, rescued Merrill Lynch from irrelevance and established himself as one of the most successful CEOs on Wall Street and in corporate America. Leaving the conference center, O'Neill would join his directors for a board meeting at the Nassau Inn in Princeton, just a short drive away.